a lot listened to the whole thing. They relieved themselves on the stage of a whole lot of non-beeped words. If all those words had been beeped out, the show would have sounded like Mozart's sonata for two flutes and a bagpipe. I interrupt this train of thoughts in order to remind you that this is an official Christmas speech. It has been moderated to fit into this time slot, and Christmas will be mentioned several times, so a certain parental discretion is advised, not expected, but advised. What I'm trying to tell you, and what I actually would have been able to explain if I didn't have this annoying habit of interrupting myself all the time, is this brilliant idea I got. Listen, since children learn the language incredibly fast, we grown-ups should be able to copy their system, start from beginning. So I went to a bookstore and pretended to be interested in a Christmas gift for a small child. The lady in the shop, she looked like my Aunt Hulda from Horsens. But she wasn't. Mainly because Hulda had never been to the United States. And besides, she'd been dead for about 50 years. Now she pointed in the direction of the Disney department. Oh no, I said, that'll never work. You see, I remember when my two boys were around 5, I took them to Snow White and the Seven Shorties. The witch in that movie was so scary. I was horrified. I tell you, I didn't sleep for a week. I don't know how the children took it, but I didn't sleep for a week. So the Hulda lookalike came up with something else, a book called Fox in Socks. On the front, the book had a drawing of a fox painted red, very red. The fox looked like a Danish mailbox. The fox had, for some reason or other, socks on, blue socks. I took one look at the red fox and the blue socks and immediately understood that this was not a copy of Tolstoy's War and Peace. It's a beginner's book story, Hulda explained, written by Dr. Seuss, $7. $7 for a doctor's book. That's a bargain, considering what doctors normally charge you for even the most insignificant brain operation. So on the first page, there was this drawing of different things. The mailbox colored fox was there, a pair of blue socks, a wooden box, and something that looked like a mixture between an ugly dog and two very ugly dogs. There were four words on the page. Fox, socks, box, and Nux. I guess the dog-like creature's name was Nux. I was really impressed. The book was absolutely brilliant. Such an eye-opener. I have written 7 books in my life. This was the first time I realized that you can get away with only 4 words on a page. Had I known that, it would have had enormous consequences for my work as a writer. I could have saved a lot of time and work. 4 words, I used to put hundreds of words on each page. What a sad waste of my talent. Come on. It turned out that this fox had some bricks and some blocks, and the fox saved this. First, I'll make a quick trick brick stack, then I'll make a quick trick block stack. Let's take a break here. No doubt many of you are thinking right now, I wish he would give us the speech from last year. It was a lot of, but it's nothing compared to this. I'm sorry, but I'm in charge here, so I have the permission to talk about anything, remember? And we'll get to this Christmas stuff soon enough. All right, I'll move on quickly. And I can move on quickly, because I once took a crash course in speed reading. It was very interesting and very expensive. The teacher didn't waste much time. The whole seminar took less than half an hour. We used a 240-page book and had to read it in 1 minute, 15 seconds. The most important rule for speed readers is to be able to skip as many pages as possible without being caught in the act. This maneuver, by the way, is called advanced speed reading, or surfing, or cheating. The situation on page 50 had somewhat changed. The fox was out of the box, never to be seen again. But the scene had been taken over by some ugly insects called beetles. "What do you know about tweedle beetles?" Dr. Seuss asked, and he gave the answer himself. "When tweedle beetles fight, it's called a tweedle beetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a tweedle beetle puddle battle. And when the tweedle beetles battle with paddles in a puddle, it's a tweedle beetle puddle puddle battle." When I came back from the kitchen where I had treated myself to a drink called Rød Aalborg, I began to understand that maybe this was not the right way to learn English. Not well enough for a Christmas lunch and speak anyway. But I just had to see the next page. There was a new drawing. Before I explain the drawing, let me tell you that on New Year's Eve, my father loved to serve a special Danish dish for it called klipfisk med sennepsoppe. That dish gave me some interesting nightmares. So don't try that at home. But I had never in my wildest dreams seen anything like this. Try to figure it out in your mind. A dog. A poodle, actually, was eating spaghetti, while at the same time balancing a bottle, and in the bottle were these beetles fighting in a little puddle of water. The text to this confusing picture said, "When beetles fight, these battles in a bottle with their paddles, and the bottles on a poodle and the poodles eating noodles. It's called a muddle puddle, tweedle pool, beetle noodle, bottle paddle battle." Do you mind if I go back to my thick Danish accent? Oh, I'm sorry about no dancing in the aisle, by the way. But it's so distracting for me when it happens. And I hope you understand that. We'll now talk about Christmas. Those of you who prefer to walk out on me now will miss the last part. Well, I guess they knew that. It's my intention to prepare you for the days ahead. From now on, it's Santa Claus and reindeers and presents and snow and traffic jams, the whole caboodle. I'll get you in the mood for Christmas. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. The first Christmas snow fell in Denmark in one of the first days of November. The Danish prince and the East princess went on a parade after the wedding in a one-horse open sleigh. Rådhusklokkerne, the bells on the town hall in Copenhagen played, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." A Danish poem says, "There's nothing in the world as quiet as snow," which might be right, but it's a pretty noisy affair to get rid of the damn stuff. The job's called for a lot of words. Talking about snow, a scientist once spent his entire life taking photos of snowflakes. He took 50,000 snowflakes, and he didn't find two alike. I'm not making this up. If I had made this up, it would have been a lot more interesting. But imagine, 50,000 snowflakes, not two alike. I wonder what he would have done if he had found two snowflakes that were alike. Would he sell them? Or give them names? Or something? I once found two snowflakes exactly alike. One of them fell on my nose outside a restaurant in Hasson in 1946. The other one landed on my left knee on a ski trip to Austria in 1952. Well, I must admit that when I took a closer look at them, I found out that they were sort of melted. But they were alike, like two drops of water. Christmas is wonderful, especially this time of year. And people are wonderful at Christmas time. Men are buying Chanel number 5 and women are buying electric razors. For many years, I always gave my wife an interesting nightgown for Christmas. We had an agreement. We gave each other things that we could both enjoy. I can tell you, 50 nightgowns, they fill a lot up in the closet. Other people buy pink slippers shaped like dead rabbits. The dead rabbits are only sold in December. Next year they are all returned to the shop. From there they go back to the warehouse so they can be ready for sale next Christmas. Some of these rabbits have been on that trip so many times they can take the trip by themselves. But it takes a little time, of course, because they are all connected with short string, very short string. It takes forever to get there. More Christmas stuff is coming up, so stay tuned. Let me give you a little Christmas trivia. Do you know that parents tell their Christmas that it's Santa Claus coming with the presents because That way they can blame him on not bringing the pony. The very first beautifully lit Christmas tree was seen in a cute little house in a cute little village in Harzen, Germany, in the year 1605. It was placed too close to the fireplace, and that was it. It was beautifully lit as long as it lasted. It lasted about as long as the cute little house. The owner was quoted as saying, the very first Christmas card was sent by the mail 1st of December 1891. It was delivered on the 4th of July 2 years later by the Federal Express. Nowadays it's common to put photos of your grandchildren on your Christmas cards. If you don't have any grandchildren, you can buy cards with cute little generic grandchildren. Do you know that on a normal Sunday in Denmark, the percentage of people going to church is 0.0? But on Christmas Eve, everybody, and I mean everybody, feel bad about not going. We're getting closer to the ending now, but don't get your hopes up yet. Please remain seated until this speech comes to a complete stop. I don't want you to leave you with the impression that I'm cynical about all this Christmas ballyhoo. That's not the case. Deep in my heart, I carry the memories of Christmas evenings, lots of food and fun and gifts, underwear, mittens, bicycle pumps and pencil sharpeners. Yes, I'm sentimental like most of you, but I live in modern times, and we all do. None of us believe that Santa Claus flies around in a sleigh pulled by reindeers. You can find something in the Milky Way, but now it's a space probe from NASA called Galileo. In a few days, that probe going 14,000 miles an hour will reach Jupiter, if you can trust the traveling experts from AAA. It'll sail around the planet and take photos with one of these throwaway cameras, equipped with telelenses so sharp that they can see if the man down there is sweeping his driveway. All that gives me a whole new Christmas dream. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it turns out that the landscape of Jupiter is an exact copy of the Silkeborg Lakes, complete with skating children in red mittens and parents waiting around drinking hot coffee and freezing their off. Or maybe Jupiter is a gigantic extension of Disney World. If Jupiter turns out to be a Disney arrangement, that would make it easier for us to understand that the admittance price for Galileo was $1.4 billion. That's a lot of Tootsie Rolls. For $1.4 billion, we could have had an astronomical amount of potholes repaired. We could have financed a new movie, Waterworld 2. Maybe not. And that's surprisingly enough is the end of my essay, Christmas in Search of a Punchline. On a personal note, my only wish for Christmas is that the space probe will find my punchline on Jupiter. And if it doesn't find the punchline, maybe it'll find a Moodle poodle, Tweety poodle, button noodle. Now you have my permission to dance in the aisle. Have a nice Christmas.